Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. Genesis is the very beginning of the Torah. It's the first of the five books, and it's filled with stories, stories of our forefathers, and starts with the story of the first man, Adam and his wife Eve, created by God in the Garden of Eden. Many of us are familiar with the story. The question is, what is the importance of this story for us? And there are many significant details and things to learn about mankind from this story. And I believe that that really is what its main significance is. If we say there's the first man with no other influence, just himself, and we have this very powerful story of what happens with Adam and Eve, with the snake, what happens with their children. And there's so much to learn, I believe, about human nature. Who are we as human beings, our struggles, what it is here that we're supposed to be overcoming, what is our purpose in being here? And as much as time can change, I think it's always very interesting that you can have a certain milieu of time changing. You can read, you know, stories or books of time periods gone by, and there's certain aspects of life that's changed. For example, technology has had a significant change on the world. We have different social setups that have existed within different countries and different time periods. And yet, man himself, human nature, there's something that carries on from generation to generation, from time to time. You can read old books about people that lived hundreds of years ago, and you see that the human struggle, the struggle within ourselves, the struggle to be greater, the greater part of who we can be with ourselves, is something that continues. And so there is so much, if we examine the first human beings, Adam and Eve, we understand what are the struggles they went through, and can give us tremendous insight into understanding ourselves as human beings and into understanding what it is here that we are here for. The first stories that we're told that Hashem is sharing, God is sharing with us through the Torah, is here to teach us lessons that we can learn today in understanding ourselves as human beings, understanding ourselves and our relationships with others, especially those closest relationships between man and wife, between parents and children, and the ultimate relationship between us and God. It helps us understand that snake that really tries to trip us up. We need to understand there are many snakes. There are many situations in life and people and circumstances that sometimes seem to trick us, to take us away from who we can become, the greater version of ourselves. How do we respond? How do we recognize the snakes in our lives, the ones that take us away from living our higher selves and connecting to God, which ultimately is the purpose of our existence? So when we return Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel, I want to explore with the rabbi the tremendous insights and understandings that we can learn for our own lives in having a deeper understanding of the story of Adam and Eve, the snake, the Garden of Eden, and the relationship with God. When we return Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. We are starting a new Torah cycle. Every single year, we start the Torah from the beginning, from Genesis, from Bereshit. And it's very interesting that as much as the Torah is about instructions for life, and it is very fascinating to understand how the world was created, much of the beginning of Genesis is stories. And the first story happens with the creation of Adam, Eve, and their children. And one of the things that is so fascinating is I feel like as human beings, we really struggle all the time with trying to have a peaceful life, a pleasant life. We're trying to grow. We're trying to work on human relationships. And yet it seems as though even with the first man and woman, their first children, they were beset with so many challenges and problems, even with nobody else existing in the world from the very beginning. There were marital problems with Adam and Eve. There were problems that Adam and Eve had with their children. So what are these lessons, especially this story of the first man? How can we take what they have gone through in their relationships, and how can we take some of those lessons for ourselves and what it is that we're supposed to be doing in terms of improving our own relationships?
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, people can sometimes look at these stories and think they're just fairy tales and there's no real depth to it. But there's enormous, enormous depth to these stories. I do want to qualify the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is the only story that in our tradition that there are different opinions whether it actually happened or not, whether it's a metaphor or whether it's a historical fact. The Kabbalist, the Arizal, he actually says something that puts those two apparently disputing positions into one, that really Adam and Eve were not in our world. They were not in the world that we perceive, the world as we perceive it. And therefore, everything that's, and actually it's only after the mistake that they make that they and we, their children, are now subject to this world perspective and this world perception. And so therefore, did it happen? Yes. Did it happen the way we're imagining it? No. Because, you know, we imagine some snake talking. We say, oh, that's ridiculous. Snakes don't talk. Well, the snake in their world perception is the snake in our world perception is a metaphor for this, the snake that they experience. So therefore, we're going to include both positions that this really happened, but not the way it appears to us from the perspective that we understand. And therefore, well, what's the point of that? The point is, well, what lessons can we learn from it? And let's not try and struggle with, you know, what exactly happened, but actually what happened in terms of what it can tell us, what we can make exactly happen in our lives.
Mm. And that's, it's amazing when I think about the fact, again, that the Torah really starts with setting out these lessons for us to learn from. And it's almost as if Adam and Eve are a prototype for the rest of mankind.
Right. Well, so the whole story is really, really quite fascinating. Adam and Eve are in this garden, and the presence of the divine is everywhere. But, you know, if a person is rich and their friends were rich and they only saw movies about rich people, they wouldn't know they're rich because there's no contrast. Hmm. And it's kind of like breathing. You know, you're always breathing until you kind of lose your breath or somebody points out your breath. You're not aware of it. So Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, which is permeated with the presence of the divine, but they're not aware of it. It says that God created the snake to be a cunning creature. And the oral tradition tells us that the snake was actually a servant of God. He was there to serve God's purpose. What is the purpose that he was serving? To challenge mankind, to challenge Adam and Eve. Our sages tell us that this entire story is actually happening on the sixth day of creation, which is the day that Adam was created. And I believe that's because that's how God creates man. The way God creates the human being is by giving him the potential for free choice and then sending a challenge that will force him to make a free choice. And that's really what the snake's job is. The on button is the story of the snake. You know, God has fashioned this human being, and yet the human being is not complete until the on button is turned on, and that is through free choice. Until a human being makes a choice, they have not actualized themselves as a human being.
So then ultimately, with all the what seemed like they were choices until the snake challenged him, those aren't really free will choices. Like, am I going to work this garden or not? Am I going to, what fruit am I going to eat? Meaning we're constantly making choices in a given day, but it's specific kinds of choices.
Well, a choice by definition is something that incurs consequences, but significant consequences. If I pick up my my pencil and I put it to the left of me rather than to the right to me, is that really a manifestation of free choice? Yeah, I could have put it here, I could have put it there, but it really makes no difference where I put it. The ultimate manifestation of what choice really means is that I make choices that really incur different consequences that are significant to our lives. The consequence of Adam's choice is this. Adam is in a garden, And in the middle of the garden is the tree of life of good, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and bad. And God says, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and bad. Now, you know, if God doesn't want man to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and bad, why doesn't he just hide it somewhere in a corner behind a mulberry bush? And if God doesn't want us to eat from that tree, why does he create a snake that is the most cunning of all creatures? And that's like, you know, my son, I have a computer, and I tell my son not to touch my new laptop, and I put it in the center of his bedroom, and I send his brother in to say, touch it, touch it, touch it. I mean, like, what is going on over here? Adam cannot avoid the choice. He has to either choose to eat it or choose not to eat it. But until he makes a choice, he has not become a human being.
So it's interesting because in a sense, it almost, in a certain perspective, seems like the snake is taking us away from who we are as human beings. But actually, it's he's activating who we could become as human beings. So as instead of it being something negative, it's actually he potentially, if we choose correctly, actually serves a very positive role.
Right. And even if we choose incorrectly, it's a positive role because now the machine has been turned on. Okay, it's being used in the wrong way. But until man makes a choice, bad, good choice, he doesn't become a human being until he makes a choice. Of course, to choose not to, from the tree. And the question is, well, what is really this choice? What really is the choice? And there really is only one choice in our life. It, and our choices aren't really so much defined by what we do, but what we choose to do defines how we perceive ourselves. The choice is to act in a way that will be true to who I really am. Is being told by the snake, you know who you are? You're this being that has tremendous potential, and the creator is threatened by you. And he has given this restriction on you. He's placed this restriction on you to keep you down, to control you, to make sure that you are a subject to him and him wanting to be the king. And you don't have to do that. This is all coming from jealousy. He's jealous. He's challenged. The Midrash says that a craftsman is challenged by another craftsman. I mean, I don't have envy for the Queen of England because I don't think I have any potential to be the Queen of England. So it's not, I don't feel envy. I might feel envy of another rabbi because that's, you know, what I do, but I don't feel envy of, or a doctor because it's just not my field. The snake says that God has envy of man. And the only way that he can protect himself from man becoming a competitor is by giving him these commandments. Now that sounds like, you know, kind of crazy. But what is the point of all that? Adam hasn't thought about any of this. Who am I? Who is God? What's the point of all this? He's like a child who's just in the flow. And until somebody challenges you in your identity, and you didn't even think about it. It wasn't an issue. Well, it has to be an issue because you can't know who you are until you struggle with it. And sometimes the only way you can find out who you are is by making a mistake and choosing to do something which is not who you are. And sometimes the only way to discover who you are is by being who you're not and the pain that you suffer from that experience. And so either way Adam would go, there would actually be a benefit to this. The real mistake of Adam is he doesn't apologize. If he would have said, if God would have said, did you eat from the tree? And he says, you know what? I blew it. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. The story would have been over with. But that's not what Adam and Eve do. When God says to Eve, did you eat from the tree? She says, the snake did it. He seduced me to do it. She took no responsibility. God says to Adam, why did you eat from the tree? Well, the woman that you gave to me, Everybody's passing the buck. In this case, it's passing the apple, but actually in our tradition, it wasn't an apple at all. Nobody said it was an apple. But the question is, what is the choice here?
And that's a big question for us to understand, because this is exactly, if we're here for making choices and free choice, understanding what the choices and opportunities we have in making those choices are is key for then being able to become the greater version of ourselves. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Understanding the huge significance of the Genesis story, the story of Adam and Eve and the snake in the Garden of Eden. And Rabbi, you really revolutionized our understanding of the story. And I'd say for myself, because I always think we think of the snake as the bad character. And yet, as you're explaining here, is that the snake is what enables us to be greater, become more, by giving us the opportunity to make a choice. It's up to, instead of blaming the snake for having seduced us, challenged us, however we want to see it, we have to, as you're saying even before the break, that Adam's mistake was not taking responsibility. So what it really is about is recognizing that the snake represents having a choice. It's up to us to make certain choices, and if we make the right choices, we become greater. And if we fail to make the right choices, we continue to fail to make the to continue in the line of making wrong choices when we don't take responsibility for the choices that we've made.
Right. It reminds me of a line in a Superman movie, which I didn't see, but a Batman movie, which I didn't see, but my students were, and that in the Batman movie, Batman is about to destroy Joker forever. And the Joker says, you can't destroy me. You can't be Batman without me. You have to have a villain to fight against. And so what's basically happening is the villain is facilitating the hero to actually become a hero. And he's actually serving the hero's purpose by being the antagonist. He is facilitating the possibility of the protagonist to demonstrate his courage and his fortitude and his determination. And so the snake is really doing Adam a favor by trying to trip him up. But the question is, what is the favor? And the favor is to realize who I am, because that's really what it's about. Who am I? And making choices that affirm who we are. Because there's only one choice, and we've talked about this before, to either portray or to betray our true selves. And so the snake says, you know, you're an independent being, and you have tremendous potential and power, and God is not going to let you, you know, actualize your potential. And this commandment to not eat from the tree is his way to keep you controlled. Well, what should have Adam said to that? Well, he could have said, wait a second. Who says that I am a separate entity set apart from God? Created in the image of God, you know, the Torah says that the image of God of Adam was a man and a woman. Most people think Adam was a man. Adam was not a man. Adam is what's called androgynous. Adam was a being that included male and female. And that's the image of God. That's why under at a chuppah, at a wedding, we make a blessing how, you know, in the that man is created in the image of God. Well, what's that got to do with the wedding? It's because you only see the image of God when a man and a woman unite together. So Adam could have said, wait a second, Eve is not me, and yet we're one. She's a part of me. And maybe I'm to God like Eve is to me. That really, although I'm not God, I'm one with God. That's what love is all about. In our relationship, Eve is not me and I'm not her, but we're one. And so even though I'm not God, but I have no example of anything other than the oneness that I know with my wife. And he could have said, so that's ridiculous what you're saying, that God would tell me not to eat of the tree because he's jealous of me, because he doesn't want competition with me. There's no competition with someone that you're a part of or that's a part of you. He could have said that, but he didn't say that. What he did is he was drawn into the paradigm that the snake, for self-identity, the snake presented. When he chooses to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and bad, he's choosing to embrace a perception that God is some being over there, and I'm a being over here. And yes, it's true, he created me, but I have tremendous potential, and I don't have to live my life subordinate to him. So I'm going to be my own man. Hmm. And because of that, the Kabbalah says that Adam and Eve actually were made of light. But after they made this mistake, they are in a body of skin. Because the body of skin is a false perception that I live in this sack of skin, separate from and cut off from the rest of reality, from God. And so when he chose to eat from the tree, he basically embraced a self-perception of himself as set apart from God, rather than the truth is that I am a part of God.
So for Adam, there was one snake, and he also lived in the Garden of Eden, where the revelation of God was much more revealed than I'd say for sure today. And we still, I mean, I think the struggle that Adam had to go through, the choices he had to make, is so relatable, because now instead of one snake, I feel like we're surrounded by snakes with these messages that are trying to tell us to go against the word of God and trying to ultimately go against ourselves when we make choices that go against God's will and word. And we don't live in a time where the revelation of God is as clear. So even with that time where there's one snake and God's revelation is so clear, and Adam still had, you know, unfortunately didn't make the choice he needed to become more and more connected and have that clarity and connection with God. How are we supposed to face this, all these snakes that are surrounding us today, with the same kinds of messages very insidiously, constantly creeping into our lives and giving us these opportunities for choices, but I think often we're not making the right ones?
Well, I think it goes down to identifying the crux of what in every choice a variable of. And there is really only one choice, and that choice is to answer this question: who am I? Am I an ego, self-contained, self-sufficient, independent, disconnected from a reality greater than myself? Or am I a soul, a part of the greater reality, i.e. God? And every choice is really rooted in that self-perception, you know. And so if I choose to be greedy, then I've choose to define myself as ego. If I choose to be kind, then I choose to define myself as soul. Which am I? Who really am I? Am I an ego? And is my body the best way of identifying who I am? Or am I a soul, part of a greater reality, a reality that I share with all human beings? Hmm. Every choice, whether it's to steal or whether it's to lie or whether it's to speak appropriately, every dialogue boils down to, do you see yourself as an ego or do you see yourself as a soul? Are you a self-contained, independent entity that is not accountable or responsible or part of oneness greater than yourself, a self greater than yourself? Or soul, what I would call masterpiece. So therefore, with all the snakes, everybody has to ask themselves before they make a choice, am I making a choice as an ego or am I making a choice as a soul?
But in order to even ask that question and answer it honestly, we really have to separate who we understand who we are. I think that to an extent we so identify ourselves from a physical perspective. And much of this, I think, is also based on the society we live in where there's such an emphasis on the physical side of self. And we really have to be able to understand who I am separate from that physical self, which I so identify.
Well, that's going back to the ego. If I identify with my body, if I identify with all the material things I have, then I'm operating from an ego point of view. If I say, I like my body and I like the things I own, but they don't define me. What defines me is I am part of a greater self that I share with all of mankind. That's called God. And I am going to operate and do things based on that self-awareness. that is it. And it is a difficult choice because the world in our face is constantly telling us to have this and have that. And you'll feel better about yourself if you do this and if you do that. But will I feel better about my ego or feel better about myself as a And the truth is, when I reinforce the ego, deep inside, there's a deep sense of unsettledness and aggravation, because in the deepest depths of the unconscious, I know I'm not an ego. I know I'm a soul. And that's why we want to love. We want to love because we know that our identity is bound up with that which is outside of us. We want to love our spouses, our children, people, the world, God. Love is a movement out of ego that I cannot find in myself, but I actually find outside of myself by being part of a greater whole.
And then ultimately, that really then explains what to be the greatest part of the whole is to really connect and to love God. Because I think that example of talking about loving your spouse and loving your children who are an extension of you to a degree, and that true love would be, am I thinking about what's best for them or am I selfishly serving myself? And then that is the question we then have to ask in our service of God too. Am I doing this for my own ego because I'm serving myself, or am I truly serving God?
Right. That's it.
So these are
and
some...
even to say serving God could come from an ego place, meaning serving God means I've got to give up my ego and I've got to serve God. But that's still coming from a place that there's me and God and it's separate. But if serving God is like my hand saying I'm serving Dave, well, that's a different story. And I think that really is a good thing we should discuss in the next segment.
When we return, Soul Talk, read by David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, learning some fundamental lessons from the story of Adam and Eve and the snake in Genesis. And right before the break, we're talking about an important distinction of when are we truly serving God and when are we sometimes thinking or saying we're serving God, but really we're serving ourselves, which is ultimately self-destructive. So how do we make that distinction?
Right. Well, you see, when a person says, I want to serve God, are they thinking in terms of I, as an ego, want to serve God because this way he'll be nice to me, this way I'll be protected, If I don't do it, he'll hurt me. That's still ego talk. If I say I want to serve God, because how can I not serve God? He's the greater self of that I'm a part of. So if I were to speak to my finger and I would say, thou shalt point, and my finger were to say, I'm going to serve David and I am going to obey, because if I do that, he'll reward me. And if I don't do that, he might hurt me. Well, that's ego. That's, you know, but if this says, of course I'm going to point. I'm a part of David. I want to point. If David wants me to point, then I want to point because I'm a part of him. So that's the way one would serve God as a soul, as a part of God rather than an entity apart from God.
That is a very good way of explaining it, because
you can even have people that are profoundly religious. Even if you have people that are profoundly religious, they could still be stuck in their ego and defining themselves as an ego, looking for reward and avoiding punishment. But a person is from place to soul, the reward is doing it because it's who I am. The reward of a finger pointing is just being myself as part of the body, part of David. So therefore, you know, some people seek to serve God and they're still in the ego mode, and some people serve God from soul mode. Ego mode is I want reward. Soul mode is the act itself is a reward enough because I'm just being myself as part of a greater reality.
So then that really was a fundamental mistake of Adam, is that he saw himself as separate from God, and that was what the snake was trying to do, is to make him see himself as separate and almost create a competition. It's almost ridiculous of saying, you know, your right hand separate from your left, as opposed to recognizing that he was an expression of God and there isn't this separateness. If anything, you're going to hurt yourself by trying to say you're separate instead of trying to serve God who you are a part of.
Right. Well, so that's what happens at the end when God says, Adam, where are you? God's not playing hide and go seek, but rather he's asking a deep spiritual question. He's saying, where are you? If Adam had the right answer, he'd say, I'm in you. If Adam would have known that there's really nothing but God and that we exist within him and we are parts of him, then Adam would never have done that. But he didn't know who he was. The snake is presenting the challenge, and he has to choose. And he chose to embrace a perception of ego. And we're still fighting to get past that and get over that, to go back to a unitive understanding of ourselves as existing within the divine, as facets of the divine, even though we're not God. Just like Eve is not Adam, but she is an integral part of him.
What is so important, though, in this journey going back to and fixing what the mistakes that we've continued to make, is recognizing when there's a snake. Because I think in the Garden of Eden, the snake was maybe more recognizable for who he was, and there was just one of him. But I think in our lives, there's so often that there are these snakes with that message that's supposed to take us away from ourselves and from making the wrong choices. But the first step is to recognize, wait a minute, this is a snake. This is going to take me away from who I really am. I better not listen to this voice, to this message, to this, you know, to the snake, because otherwise it's really going to just take me further away from the journey instead of further up the journey on towards connecting to God and revealing the greater part of myself.
Well, according to Torah, the snake, who was a force outside of man, once man listens and responds and acknowledges or accepts the position of the snake now lives within us. And that's called the Yetzer Hara, which is translated as the inclination for evil, but I would call it the anti-self or the anti-soul, which is within us is this voice that challenges us in these questions between, do I view myself as an ego or do I view myself as a soul?
And in a sense, that almost sounds like it makes it harder to differentiate, because if something's outside of me, I have this neighbor that lives next door that's constantly challenging me. I recognize it, I see it, I can separate myself from it. But when it's someone inside my own household, it becomes much more challenging to stand up to the challenge of the irritations. So especially when something's with inside me that's even closer to home, where I would almost imagine the challenge is even more of a challenge because it's within, and that means we have to have much more self-awareness to even understand when is it that this is snake, the ego is speaking, versus when is it that the higher self is speaking.
Well, boy, that is it. You know, the snake is now an inner voice and he sounds just like me. So, everybody wants to be true to themselves. And there's this little voice inside me telling me to, you know, that to be true to yourself, you must let everybody know what a bad person your neighbor is, which would be gossip. And that's, you got to be true to yourself and you got to do what's right. And I think that's my true voice. Rather, I have to say, wait a second. No, that's the voice of ego that has real low self-esteem and tries to knock other people down to build me up. Souls don't need that. Souls know that I don't need to compare myself to anybody, because you don't compare yourself to people who are on the team with you. You don't have envy of people that you share the same team with. You know, you're happy that we're on the same team, we're working together, so it's great. I benefit from your strengths and you benefit from my strengths, and there's no reason to be envious because we're one.
So in a great sense, the more I relate to my soul, the healthier I will be, which we're saying there's a spiritual sense, but there's also that physical sense, because as we're saying, like, envy will eat me up. Right? Hatred towards another person, even if just being aggravated with somebody else, it negatively affects me. But the more I can be in a soul mindset, the more I, as you're saying, see us not just as this is separate from me, but this is an extension of me. How can I think about this person or this situation differently? The more, and that's a soul mindset instead of the ego mindset that this person is, disturbing my personal peace here. But again, I will also be healthier when I can relate more to my soul than to the ego side of who I am.
I would only kind of edit, it's not related to my soul, it's relating to myself as a soul. Mm. It's a self-awareness. Am I a soul, a part of the soul of all souls, God, the shared self of the universe, or am I an ego, which is some self-contained entity that is separate from everybody else? And that's really, and the body plays a big role in convincing us, because we really think that my personal boundaries ends with my body. And so if I'm in my body, I'm cut off from everything outside of my body. That's already ego consciousness. That's already identifying myself as an ego rather than a soul. If I identify myself as a soul, then I realize that I'm much more than my body, and the people in my life are facets of my own self, and therefore I take care of them. I love them with the same love I love myself. You know, that's why it says, "Ahavta l'recha kamocha," love your neighbor as yourself. Ani Hashem, I am God. What does the I am God have to do with it? When I realize that there is only one I am, and it doesn't say I'm God, it says I am Yud Hey Vav Hey, which means I am existence, I am reality, I am all there ever was, is, and ever will be. There's only one I am. And your sense of I am and my sense of I am are facets of this one shared I am. And therefore, of course, I will love my neighbor as myself, just as my right hand will surely love my left hand.
It is an amazing mindset to be in. But again, it's everything you share with us. And for me, I'm really integrating this especially, is so much about perspective. Because there is reality, and reality is, as you're explaining, is we are really all connected. It doesn't just because the physical body isn't really who I am anyhow. So it might just look like we're separate, but there's a certain connection that connects all of us, because if we're all a part of God, then we all have this connection. But we have to change our perspective and seeing, recognizing and living our lives with that reality instead of the illusion of reality that we really are all separate. And that will totally change our human interactions too, when we can be in this soul living mindset instead of the ego body living mindset.
Exactly. That's the name of the game. From ego to soul. Hmm. That's the journey.
It's interesting, too, that as you were explaining earlier, that it wasn't until Adam sinned that he got skin, as we understand it. So in a sense, it almost seems as though, like, again, that the body came once we made the first choice of connecting more to our ego than to our soul. We became embalmed in more of a physical, material body, which is part of what we're striving to rise above to really connect to who we ultimately truly are.
Right. But I still, you have this habit of going back to, which everybody does, it's not connected to my ego. I don't have an ego. I'm either aware of myself as an ego or I'm aware of myself as a soul. I don't have a soul. I am a soul that has sadly become distracted and confused to think I'm an ego.
And then that really is, and I appreciate you correcting me because it just shows how integrated we are with false concepts of who we really are. And so this really is such an important message that we learned from the very beginning of the Torah, from the struggles and the challenges that Adam and Eve faced. And this is what we're still facing today, is to identify ourselves as a soul, who we truly, really are. I want to thank you all for joining us. Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom! Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.